Hello, it's Andrew Ingalls here. The elders have asked me to send a recording of the message I was going to give on Sunday on fasting, which I'm now going to try and do and put on the app, SCF app. The Oxford University Press Dictionary says, fasting is abstaining from all or some kinds of food or drink, especially as a religious observance. Christian fasting is not a form of self-punishment or a way to detach from the body. Rather, when disciples of Jesus fast, their motive is to be God-focused. Christians voluntarily abstain from food, drink, or other activities to deepen their communion with God and to strive towards spiritual maturity. We read in Scripture that fasting is not a command, although it is expected. Jesus said, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, but they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Matthew 6, verse 16. It's quite clear that in Scripture, fasting was something that was done by a lot of the patriarchs and the saints. In the Old Testament, Moses, Elijah, David, Ezra, Esther, Daniel, and the early Christians in the New Testament, prophetess Anna, the Apostle Paul, and of course, Jesus himself, they all fasted. You know, when life is easy and we are happy, your marriage is going well, you have money in the bank, your job is secure, you are healthy, your children are doing well, and you have friends as well, there is a tendency to relax, not to be so committed to the disciplines of faith. Bible study, prayer, is all particularly noticeable that these are relaxed a bit, particularly when you're on holiday, particularly when things are going well. And yet God has ways of grabbing your attention, our attention. Trouble refocuses our minds on the realities of faith, and you're driven to your knees. Somebody once said, if you are weary of standing up to trouble, try getting on your knees. The Bible tells us that even in trouble there is purpose. In this you greatly rejoice, 1 Peter 1, verse 6. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come to you, so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Again in James 5 verse 10 it says, brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble. And then he says, Matthew 16 verse 24, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, we deny ourselves. We deny ourselves what? To get back at somebody who has wronged us, to justify ourselves. We deny ourselves the rights to show ourselves as superior to others. We deny ourselves the right just to take our faith as though it was just a list of dead rules and become legalistic. It's quite easy that sometimes we just take our faith and don't really exercise it in a real living relationship with Christ. And yet sometimes we come to prayer in desperation. He has a way of getting our attention. I remember as a child going to the Old Bailey with Mum and Dad, and at the top of the steps at the entrance to the Old Bailey, the custodian said, would you like to see you round? I don't know whether he was looking for a backhander or not, but my dad said, yes, we'd love to see you round. And we'd taken round the courts, and eventually we ended up in the condemned cell. This was in the days of hanging. And I remember as a child, primary 7, I think it was, looking at the wall and somebody had written in green crayon, "Dear God, let me out of here. I'll not do it again." You see, we want God to be a problem solver, but he wants us to be our close friend in a loving relationship, a relationship that reflects his love and shares his life on a daily basis. We reach him by reading, studying his word, by prayer, with thanksgiving and praise, and by listening and meditating. We pray to reaffirm our close relationship with him and sometimes indicate our intense desire to draw closer by fasting, an act of self-desire to deepen that relationship. In Scripture, many of the saints, as I've already said, practiced fasting. Dallas Willard has said, "Fasting confirms our utter dependence upon God by finding in him a source of sustenance beyond food. Through it, we learn by experience that God's word to us is a life substance that is not a food, in brackets, bread alone that gives life, but also the words that proceeds from the mouth of God, Matthew 4, verse 4. We learn that we too have meat to eat that the world does not know, John 4 and 32, 34. Fasting unto our Lord is therefore feasting on him and doing his will. What does fasting do? It refreshes our dulled spiritual senses. It strengthens our self-control. It deepens our humility towards God. It reveals our need for him. It renews our attitude of gratefulness. It gives us a keener sense of his presence. As we said, not a legalistic exercise, not a command, but it is, in fact, a voluntary act of denial. Different ways we can fast. The act of Daniel. Daniel refused food that had been perhaps offered to idols, and Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, went on a special vegetable-only and water-only diet, and they thrived. Some would deny themselves one meal to pray. Jesus fasted for 40 days. In the book of Esther, chapter 4, Esther requested her people, the Jews, to fast for 3 days before she approached King Xerxes to get an audience with him and to plead for her people to be spared from the execution or from a cull that was going to be undertaken. We may have an activity like golf, for example, or some other activity where we could say, "I'm going to give up on that and spend the time that I would normally have on that to pray and to seek his face." At times like this, when the Strathmore Christian Fellowship is in transition, we are seeking God's guidance and his grace and his vision. And also at the time when our nation is in upheaval through coronavirus, with much confusion and fear, let us deny ourselves and consider the necessity of prayer with fasting. One meal, one activity, or several days with prayer and the focus. Psalm 100 says, "Let us enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever." We pray with thanksgiving for what he has done. We praise him for the nature of God, his almighty creator, forgiver, saviour. We worship him. We offer our sacrifice of praise. And that might be quite tough if you're going through difficulties. Bill Johnson says, "Faith denies the influence of disaster." I'm going to say that again. Faith denies the influence of disaster. Job says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And even after the house was collapsed in the whirlwind and the earthquake, he said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised." On a practical note, sitting at your table for 1 hour, you might think, "Goodness me, this can be quite difficult. This might be quite difficult, sitting for 1 hour praying. And yet I find that fasting should have an activity. It should have an agenda. It's not passive. It's something that could be active. Make it a busy day. I would suggest that you listen to Christian music, that you praise him by singing along with it, filling the house with the noise of Christian music. And then pray, give thanks for what God has done. List your blessings. Read scripture with a commentary alongside and explore related subjects. I've recently read in 1 Kings about Ahab being killed by an arrow shot at random that pierced the joints in his armour. And that made me think about our own armour, the armour of God, and where we can secure the joints in our armour in moments of weakness by covering it in prayer. And then learn a psalm, learn a portion of scripture. Discipline yourself to do that. And then perhaps touch somebody else's life. Visit somebody you've been praying for, or write a letter, or make a phone call. And then lastly, pray for the day that's gone. Pray for all these things. Pray and meditate, and listen to that still, small voice. Write down what you feel God has been saying to you. Let's not waste time at this time of isolation, but let us recognize that we can pray with fasting and draw closer to God and hear that still small voice and know that He is in charge. Despite the upheaval in the nation, despite our confusion and fear, He is in charge, because perfect love casts out fear. Bless you all. Amen.